We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The third, the final, the best, the Money Hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome back to the radio broadcast. I am Rob Brown. Directly across from me on the other side of the metaphorical glass today, he is the great one. Lonzo is here as well as we get set up for conference championship weekend in the National Football League.
I'm shining up the ring on my chest.
I see that.
Ready to win another one. Need another one of these. In my lifetime, I want to see Kansas City win another Super Bowl. I've only seen it happen one time. I want to see it happen again.
It does feel nice to get a Lombardi. Atlanta fans wouldn't know that.
You know what's better than one Lombardi? Two Lombardis.
Facts. Hashtag facts. Coming up here in about half an hour, we are going to be joined by NASCAR driver Corey LaJoy. Corey LaJoy, you have seen him show up on some of the biggest races on the circuit. We will talk to him about driving, about being a driver. Looking forward to spending a few minutes with him. If you have got any questions for Corey LaJoy, start sending them in now to 71307, 71307. Start that text with Fan Corey. That way we can get those questions to him while he's in studio. I will tell you this. Unless he has given himself the old off-season cleanup, Corey LaJoy is going to be the first dude in a long time that enters this studio and rivals the great one for best hair on the air.
You know, you keep saying that, and I'm not going to look up pictures because I want to see when he walks in because I ain't buying it. I'm just not. I mean, my hair looks good, man. Come on,
Corey. Like me, is that dude that when he lets the locks come out, they're impressive. They're impressive. So we'll see if LaJoy can take the best hair on the Fan Upstate title away from the great one for a little while. Texter says, Rob, I was boat can hammered last year when I met Corey at NASCAR night. Well, maybe you'll remember this conversation with Corey.
I was going to say, apparently you weren't because you remember you met him.
No, getting boat can hammered doesn't instantly mean you just forget everything that happened.
Okay, I'll take your word for it because I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it can get a little fuzzy.
I've been around people, but I've never, you know, sure. And never will myself. So,
I mean, I was a young man once. There are certainly some nights of which there are... let's say time dilations.
Many moons ago.
Yeah.
Rob was a young man.
Yeah. There are some nights that have some blank spaces, baby, in there that I've got to, you know, you kind of wake up the next day and put the puzzle together. So if you were boat can hammered when you met Corey at NASCAR night last year, well, it's 11:03 in the morning. So you'll remember this conversation. Looking forward to it. Corey will be here in just a little while. Let's talk NFC, AFC championship game previews, and let's start with the NFC championship game. The Philadelphia Eagles are at home taking on Brock Purdy and his San Francisco 49ers in what I think could very well be a phenomenal football game. You have got a San Francisco defense which has been excellent all year. It is the reason that D'Amico Ryans has gotten a number of interviews as a potential head coach down the line. On the flip side, Jalen Hurts and that Eagles offense, they found something, y'all. They found something, and I think that's the ball game. It's can San Francisco's defense keep Philadelphia's offense from getting in a rhythm? You have got two dominant defensive lines coming into this one. If the 49ers can get pressure on Jalen Hurts, Lonzo, it's still not a guarantee. Jalen Hurts is perhaps not as impressive of a runner as Lamar Jackson is in terms of raw athleticism. You know what Jalen Hurts is? Very smart about how he runs the football. And maybe more importantly, Philly draws up designed runs for Jalen in a way that the Ravens don't with Lamar. And the benefit of that is making a defense look at Jalen Hurts as a threat on every single play. You can set the O-line in a shifted pass pro set, right? So you have them kick back off the line of scrimmage and pass pro and then start moving to the right in order to allow Jalen to roll that direction. It forces, at that point, your defensive backs to roll in that direction in case Jalen decides to uncork one, except for if your DBs all back out, unless you've got a guy committed to Jalen, which if you do opens up the middle of the field, which is the strongest part of the field for Jalen Hurts to throw to. And if you put a dude on that dude and Jalen finds a guy sitting down in the zone, he'll find him. If you don't, you can design runs out of that that Jalen Hurts is going to burn you on. So it is not enough for Sanford. Like with a lot of quarterbacks, Joey B, for instance, is one of them. With a lot of quarterbacks, if you control the line of scrimmage, you control the narrative, right? If you win the line of scrimmage battle, you win the game. It is not necessarily that way with Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. You cannot just control the line of scrimmage. It is not enough to just make the line of scrimmage a wall of red and gold that running backs can't get through. You have to back the line of scrimmage up into Jalen Hurts. You have got to push the line back so that when Jalen is settled down to throw the football, he's got guys in his grill. He's got guys making him uncomfortable. The unfortunate part for San Francisco is they do not have that same weapon in Brock Purdy. I like Brock Purdy a lot. I tweeted out last week during the San Francisco game that the impressive thing about Brock Purdy is even for a good rookie, how calm and collected he looks in the face of pressure. The problem is if the Eagles D-line, which is a good one, gets to Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy does not have the escapability or danger that Jalen Hurts brings to the table, and that is the primary reason that despite the fact that I love a great defense at this stage in the NFL playoffs, Lonzo, I'm leaning towards the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, I ain't leaning. I'm going straight up San Francisco. And for a couple of the things that you said. So as far as Jalen Hurts goes, you said if they get – the number one defense is going to get pressure on Jalen Hurts. There is no doubt there. Will he get some passes off and things? Yes, he will. They're too good of a team for that not to happen. As far as Brock Purdy goes, he's got a lot of quick passes, man. A lot of quick passes. So if you're going to try to put pressure on the young quarterback because he's a young quarterback, think of all the outlets he has. I mean, just having Christian McCaffrey out there a few yards away from you, you throw the ball to him, you got a good shot of getting 5 or 6 yards a pop. Same with Deebo Samuel. It's just the defense for San Francisco is so good, and all the pieces around Brock Purdy are great that I think it gives San Francisco an advantage.
All right. I went back and I looked down the San Francisco schedule. This is a very good 13-4 team that's won their division. Let's take a look at the L's that they took. L all the way back in week one. Now, you can argue week one, not the best gauge of where a team is. But
quarterback then?
Trey Lance. Correct. They lost 19-10 to the Chicago Bears. It was Trey Lance's first start as the starter of the 49ers. But
and right away, the noise started.
They lost in week three by a single point on the road at the Denver Broncos. Then they lost, hilariously, on the road at Atlanta. Then they lost the next week at home to Kansas City, right? The last loss that they took was to Kansas City in the beginning of the season. Now, the argument there.
A game against Kansas City where Christian McCaffrey had just come in, was playing, even though he didn't know the playbook, and still got a ton of yards.
You're not wrong.
If that happens a week later, does Kansas City still beat San Francisco? I don't know.
I don't know either. What I do know about the four losses that the 49ers took, again, all early in the season, right? Two out of the first 3 weeks were L's. They lost back-to-back in weeks, what, 6 and 7? But all four of these quarterbacks they lost to, Justin Fields in week one, Russell Wilson in week three, Atlanta had Marcus Mariota in week seven. So was it seven? No, week six. And Patrick Mahomes in week seven. So they're all mobile quarterbacks. Not great quarterbacks, but they're all, even Russell Wilson at his worst in Nathaniel Hackett's offense was still extending plays by squirming out of the pocket, make something happen. San Francisco lost four games, and all four games they lost to quarterbacks that have good legs underneath them. Jalen Hurts is right now. This is not a speculation. This is a statement. Jalen Hurts is the best mobile quarterback in the game right now. All right, he is better on his legs. I think Lamar Jackson's a more physical runner, but he's better on his legs than Lamar has been. He is tied for second in the NFL in rushing touchdowns. Jalen Hurts is the best mobile quarterback in the game right now. And the only kryptonite that the 49ers had all season was against QBs who can move their legs. In fact, I go back and I look at games where they played QBs not known for their legs. Beat Justin Herbert. They beat Andy Dalton. They beat Tom Brady 35-7 because Brady can't move the pocket, right? When San Francisco can corner you in the pocket, the defense is incredible. If you get out of the pocket against the San Francisco defense, that's where you beat them, and nobody is better at that than Jalen Hurts. Give me the Eagles. And it is solely because we can talk about the flip side of the ball. We can talk about San Francisco's offense. Debo and McCaffrey are both absolutely two of the biggest threats in the league. McCaffrey's on a 9-game touchdown streak, and I'm willing to bet he gets it to 10 this weekend against San Francisco. San Francisco can move the ball. But the Eagles' strength is their defensive line and their defensive backs. Their D-line can create a lot of pressure. Their defensive backs create coverage sacks. And if they create a bunch of coverage sacks out of this, Brock Purdy's in trouble, right? Brock Purdy's in trouble. It is that and nothing else. Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Miles Sanders, Dallas Goedert. These are weapons for Jalen, but Jalen is the most important weapon of all. Zoe, give me the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I've already said 49ers. There could be a repeat of the Super Bowl however many years ago when I first got to watch my first Super Bowl, which was Cincinnati versus the 49ers. I hope that's not the case, but it could be.
All right, let's take a look at the flip side. Let's look at the AFC Championship. Cincinnati goes into what the fans are now referring to as Burrowhead Stadium. Why? because Joey B is 3-0 against Patty Mahomes and his Chiefs, including wins in Arrowhead.
I'm pretty sure we're not doing Twitter trending topics.
Is that trending right now?
The Bengals is because of that. And there are a bunch of ESPN analysts.
Well, you're off the hook because Corey's going to be here. So.
Yeah, right, right. Well, ESPN analysts are going back and forth about that. We didn't say it, the fans did. And a lot of people, this is why we don't watch ESPN anymore and a bunch of stuff like that. But yeah, the Burrowhead thing is, it's taken on a life of its own. And we'll see. You're not going to rattle him with noise, though. You're just not. You got to beat him on the field. Noise is not going to stop Joe Burrow.
No, not at all. You are correct. Let's start with the biggest issue of all. We know what it is. It's Patrick Mahomes' ankle. That just is the number one storyline in this.
See, and I was going to say the Kansas City defense, but...
That's fine. You know. No, it's Patrick's ankle. And here's the question. There are two options here, Lonzo. He is either going to be able to gut it out and play enough at 65, 75, 80% that he's still Patrick Mahomes, or he's going to gut it out and he's not going to be able to do that. And he's not going to be able to adequately move. The strength of the Kansas City offense, to me, and I'll let Zoe correct me where I'm wrong, the strength of the Kansas City offense is that they run a straight-ahead pro-style offense under Andy Reid. But if anything goes wrong, Patrick Mahomes improvises better than maybe any other quarterback in the history of football, except maybe Michael Vick. Maybe. Patrick Mahomes improvises better than anybody else, and that improvisation from Patrick Mahomes is what makes Kansas City work. If that high ankle sprain is worse than they are trying to sell us on it being, and the improvisation from Patrick Mahomes isn't there the way that it's usually there, that's what will get Kansas City in trouble in the face of a Cincinnati defense that loves under Zach Taylor to throw extra linebackers at you in weird looks to get you off balance in the first place.
You know, that's all well and good. I get all that. But we did just see Chad Henne drive 98 yards last week.
Sure.
In a playoff game. We did see that. So what it comes down to, yes, Patrick Mahomes is great. Has the potential to someday be the greatest of all time. Has the potential to be that, for sure, if he can stay healthy. But it comes down to, there's this large man on the sidelines who makes better halftime adjustments than just about anybody else in football. And if they find a way to shut Patrick Mahomes down, second half, they'll find a way to free him. I trust not only in Patrick Mahomes, even in injured Patrick Mahomes, but I trust in Andy Reid and his ability to adjust to all situations.
So I'm going to start with the Chad Henne take, which is what you lead off with there. I'm going to start with the Henne take, and the Henne take for me is this. Yes.
By the way, real quick, what Henne did is it gives everybody confidence, the fact that that was able to happen. So if you come into a game knowing that your quarterback is injured, and those guys know how bad the injury is more than we do, it's good to know that you have confidence in the backup guy that if he has to go in there, that you're not going to have the huge drop-off that you have in most places, because Chad Henne is capable and because the coaching staff will adjust the game to Chad Henne's strengths.
I agree with all of that as well. What I do think about the Chad Henne story from last week. Chad Henne came in a week where the defense you're lined up against prepared for Patrick Mahomes. Chad Henne is just a different type of quarterback. So you spent the week, and listen, you're NFL caliber players, you should be able to adjust your defense on the fly, just like the offense should be able to adjust back. Chess matches are fun. But you spend all week prepping for a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, who, as we mentioned, wins because of his improvisation, and you switch it up to a guy who doesn't improv, but who has a very good eye for the game. Not the most talented cat in the world, but has a great eye and brain for the game. If you prepare for Patrick Mahomes and then you catch Chad Henne out of nowhere, it's going to throw a wrinkle at you. And if you catch Chad Henne with Andy Reid building the game plan around him, yeah, it's going to throw your game plan defensively into chaos. Now, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are playing a very smart game in trying to convince everybody that Patrick Mahomes is 100%. There ain't no damn way. But it's smart to pretend like he is, because that way, if they fall for it.
As a man of science, how dare you come at science and say that science hasn't advanced enough that they can't make Patrick Mahomes not hurt for 3 hours?
Well, if they can, Sam Darnold's going to be furious. Furious, I tell you.
We know Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, everybody in the Panthers had a high ankle sprain, yep, and were out for multiple weeks.
I think I got a high ankle sprain watching the Panthers.
And maybe it had to do with who was coaching them, who said, no, you're still out. Whereas none of them, and all of them combined, are not Patrick Mahomes.
I am just going to go ahead and, as a man of science, lean on the Mayo Clinic and the Andrews Institute instead of that guy on Twitter. Both of them say a high ankle sprain is a multi-week recovery.
Listen, Mr. Reddit doctor, I don't think you can really go there.
Again, credentials, baby. I suspect they are going to shoot Patrick Mahomes' ankle up with enough roids and feel-good juice that his ankle is going to be on cloud nine, right? I got no doubt. Doesn't mean it's not going to impact the game, all right? Now, as I said, Patrick Mahomes at 80% is still one of the best 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League. Question is he 80% or 10? Is he 40?
Like yesterday, you said 5.
Yeah, I'd say 6.
All right. Okay.
Let's just meet in the middle-ish. Patrick Mahomes, even on a busted wheel, is still one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. And I think there's something to be said for that. But if he's on a busted wheel and Zach Taylor knows that, smells blood in the water, and sends the Sharks after him, then the question's going to be, does he have enough to continue to improvise and win a shootout with the Bengals? Flip side of the ball before we run to a break, because Corey LaJoie's in the building. We'll be talking to him next. Flip side of the ball is, with 3 linemen down for the Cincinnati Bengals and Kansas City defensively being willing to attack, can Joe Burrow move the pocket left and right enough to where he's not facing an onslaught and give receivers time to develop routes? If they can, Burrow's going to put points up, and now it becomes that shootout. If Kansas City plans for that, maintains contain on Joe Burrow, does not let him develop and evolve that offense as they go, that's where they get in trouble. But Patrick Mahomes' ankle is the story in this game.
All right, as far as Burrow goes, the lineman being down, he had that problem last week, and this was the story, and everyone said there's no way he's going to stay upright. And he didn't really get touched in the driving snow. So I'm not – the lineman thing, it's off the table. I think the backups that they have, it took them a while, but I think they built up a good bench there for Cincinnati, and I think the linemen are pretty good. So I'm not worried about that part. I think it's still, in the end, it comes down to Kansas City's defense – the bend not break defense, which I can't stand. Can they get pressure on Burrow? Can they keep them out of the end zone? This is going to be a shootout. It was a shootout last year. It's going to be a shootout this year. And hopefully it doesn't go to overtime again.
The Cincinnati uninvited guests taking on the Kansas City Patrick Mahomes ankles. That's going to be Sunday evening.
And will Burrowhead come into play?
Burrowhead Stadium. We'll have the full breakdown on Monday. Let's run to a break, because when we come back, NASCAR driver Corey LaJoie is in studio with us. The Greenville Swamp Rabbits NASCAR night is this Saturday. I'll be there. Corey will be there. You should be too. We'll talk about that and get a few NASCAR questions under our belt with Corey LaJoie when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Glad to have you guys from around the entire upstate of South Carolina. And joining us now in studio, ladies and gentlemen, is half the front office of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits and NASCAR driver Corey LaJoie in town, because Saturday evening is NASCAR night for the Swamp Rabbits. My dude Corey is here in the building. What's up, big fella?
I was hanging out, man. Just trying to sling some tickets for the Swamp Rabbits tomorrow night.
Tough job. Somebody's got to do it.
I know.
I heard the guy that works the Jumbotron in the in-arena host position there, super attractive. I'm Corey's like, what the hell are you talking? Yes, that guy is absolutely me. Absolutely me. Corey's in town. It is NASCAR night coming up tomorrow at the Well. You were here last year for it, too. Hey, like the GVL, man. You're a Charlotte guy, so you're not from too far away.
I was actually here. I was here last weekend for PBR, too.
That was dope, right?
It was sweet.
Have you been to PBR events before?
That was my first time.
Mine too.
It was electric, bro.
It was like freaking professional wrestling with bulls. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. When those things come out of the chute, man, you better watch. Yeah. Those guys are just passengers.
There was one dude, like second round, who gets thrown back into the chute. Goes like knee and face first into the steel, limps out. And I'm like, dude, tap me out. I would be dead. I would die. Physically, literally die. That guy comes about like 25 minutes later for his next ride. These dudes are badass.
Those guys are nuts, man.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So, Corey LaJoie here in town was at the Well last weekend for PBR. We'll be at the Well this Saturday. NASCAR hockey, it's an interesting crossover, right? Like, you think NASCAR, Southern sport, guys down here in the Carolinas. You think hockey, got to be cold. The only ice I grew up around was in my margarita. Not the same. But there is a lot of crossover, predominantly in that you guys putting on the helmet, both sports, know that this is crazy dangerous. It's crazy physical. What is your appreciation for these guys that that lace up skates on weekends?
I tell fans at the racetrack, and I ask them, if you've never been to a NASCAR race, that's the biggest gap between seeing it on TV and seeing it live.
Yeah.
Feeling it, touching it, smelling it, all the things. Hockey is a close second from watching it on TV to going and actually seeing a hockey game in person. So the fact that Spire Sports and Entertainment, also Spire Motorsports, who I drive for on the Cup side, they are really leaning into this NASCAR night. And we've got show cars at the party in the plaza. We've got the eNASCAR. You can try your hand at some simulation, try to beat my lap time. And then 6 o'clock, we've got a autograph session. So you can see me, Ty Dillon, a bunch of other NASCAR guys are hanging out.
All right, forget all that. You've just put out a challenge I didn't know was coming. What track is the simulator set up to run?
Wherever you want to go, buddy.
Really?
Yeah.
What am I running? Give me your best
time. Let's go to Bristol.
Let's go to Bristol?
Yeah.
Maybe I don't want to use the brake, man.
Why?
Because that takes skill, and I got it's all gas, baby.
All right, we can go to Daytona.
I did the NASCAR Hall of Fame up in Charlotte last year for the first time, which, by the way, is incredible.
It's a great place.
Yeah. Incredible experience. And they've got the simulator where you get in the car and all that. Best lap time of the week at the Dega.
You just floored it, man. There's really not a whole lot of skill that comes along. The skill comes with trying to position your 3,600-pound piece of metal in front of another guy's 3,600-pound piece of metal. That's harder than it is just to floor it.
All right, so talk to me about this. You've been racing since you were in your early 30. Teens.
I started taking it serious when I was probably 12 or 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you got up to the big rigs, when you got up to Cup Series, and obviously you've gone go-karts all the way up, what was it like the first time you got into a Cup Series race when you hit that gas full speed and you are inches? Because it's something you watch on TV and Jeff Gordon gets on and goes, these guys are 3 inches from each other when they're turning. And it's impressive to see it on TV. And I think you nailed it a second ago when you said, when you see it in person for the first time. My first race was at Talladega, sitting out of the exit of the first turn. And I don't think you really understand how close it is. What is that like for you when you can look at the car next to you and not just see the decals, but see the pinstripes in them?
Well, the 3-wide, 4-wide at Talladega is really not – like you feel like you're not even moving very fast because the cars are just going – you know, they're only passing you slowly. But you're also going 205 miles an hour. But you bring up Jeff Gordon, my first ever Cup race, 2013 – I'd had no business driving a Cup car at this point in time, and some poor guy let me drive his car. And the guy missed the race a couple times. He missed the races before I got in this car. He wanted somebody that would at least lay it out there and try to get the thing in the show. First practice, I look up in the mirror. I merge off a pit lane. I look in the mirror, and Jeff Gordon's coming. I'm like, this might be a good guy to follow, right? And I get behind him, and it's one corner, and I can't even see him anymore. He's gone. They had brake markers 4, 3, 2, 1 to kind of gauge how far you lifted. We were at New Hampshire. I was lifting at like the 3. Jeff Gordon was lifting like after the 1. And after I see him do that 2 corners, I come in, I catch my breath, and I'm like trying to just figure out how to slow everything down. And I go back out there. Sure enough, the next run, look in the mirror. Okay, there's Jeff Gordon. So I merge in behind him, and I'm like, well, shit. If Jeff Gordon can go to the 1, why can't I just go to the 1? Well, his car and his abilities were way more higher caliber than mine. So I went to the 1. I just didn't come out the other side. I ended up stuffed in the fence in between 3 and 4.
What's that radio call back to the pit like, hey, my bad, boys?
Probably quiet.
Yeah.
And you limp it back to the garage area with your tail between your legs.
Yep.
Luckily, the guys got it halfway fixed. And I was able to lay a lap down and beat a couple guys to make it in the show. But that was my first, welcome to the big show. Like, you're not Jeff Gordon.
Sure, sure, sure. So let me ask you this, because this is a question that, you know, I'm a fan, but I've never been in a garage or even close. Where is the importance of talent level and having the best available equipment? Because we've seen a lot of guys that, you know, they're really well in good equipment, and then you put them in great equipment and they take off. There are some guys who move up to great equipment and you go, oh, they just don't have that capability. So if somebody's on the track and seeing every level all over the place, where is the line of importance between having the car set up the right way, having the best equipment available, but also you just got it or you don't?
It's a great question. And I think it's situational and subjective, where you saw a guy like Kyle Larson, he was a 1 or 2 win guy a year. And at Ganassi, and then he gets plugged into Hendrick Motorsports, and he wins 10 races in the championship. So, you know, who you're surrounded by is huge. You know, but then again, there's also a win, quote-unquote, is different for every team. Smaller teams, they can look at a win as a top 15, like ours. You know, we had a lot of top 15s last year. Thought we did a pretty good job, but we also stepped on our we just step on our own toes a lot with a lot of mechanical failures. So I think that it's probably, I say 80-20. I mean, because you're only as good as the horse you're sitting on. But then again, there's also ways to figure out how to make your horse run a little faster on occasion.
Sure. Corey LaJoie, NASCAR driver, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, talking a little NASCAR. What is the best? What's your favorite track to drive?
I get that question a lot. A lot of them have pros and cons. It really depends on the car you're driving that day. I've been to some of my favorite tracks in Bristol or Martinsville and finished six laps down and I left hating it. I've also been to some of my least favorite tracks, Kansas, Homestead, and had a great car and then leave loving it. So it really depends on if it's your day or not. But I also always go into every weekend expecting it's going to be my favorite one yet.
Short track guy? I mean, is that like it comes from the roots?
What I grew up racing. I mean, I won Greenville Pickens Speedway growing up. That was one of my favorite tracks. Interesting, wore out short track. So yeah, I'm privy to short tracks, but you know, I've actually gotten pretty decent at the mile and a half and be able to rip the boards and just trying to continue to grow the craft.
So it's been interesting because we had last year the Clash at the Coliseum get added. This year we're going street racing in Chicago, and I think we've seen over, especially over the last 4 or 5 years, this willingness for NASCAR to kind of adapt different molds, right? Like I'm in, this may be blasphemy or not, I don't know. I'm not a mile and a half cookie cutter guy. I think they get boring. I think they get repetitive, and there's so many of them that we see it over and over. So I was excited to see the Clash. I love Bristol. I love that they're going to lay dirt down on it again. I love the Chicago street race, a Vegas street race coming up potentially. I think there's a great, how do the guys on the circuit feel? Do y'all feel like it's NASCAR's better when there's more variety to what the races look like?
I think a lot of the drivers would agree with you that we don't want to race at a mile and a half D-shaped oval 25 times a year. I like stuff new. I don't particularly love the dirt. I don't think our cars are well equipped for it. But even then, there's a lot of great tracks that are miles. There's a lot of great tracks that are three-quarter miles and vice versa. So I do applaud NASCAR for always continuing to adjust the schedule, be flexible with it. We're going, like you mentioned, a short Chicago street course. We're out of that market for a while with Chicagoland. We left there, which was out way out in the cut, and we're going to literally be right driving by the bean.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're going to be doing July 4th weekend, which I'm pumped up about. Don't know what to expect. That's why everybody should come out and check it out in person.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I've actually never been to Chicago working on the girlfriend to make this happen. I'm like, we should just go to Chicago. No reason. And also this weekend, but no reason. You know, I think it's a fantastic idea. Corey LaJoie is a driver for Spire Motorsports joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. We've got to run to a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. If you guys got some questions for Corey, hit us up on the text line at 71307. We had a texter earlier say that they met you at NASCAR night last year, bleep hammered, quote unquote. So they said they're looking forward to come not doing that tomorrow.
Well, if you see me at 6, they've been drinking for a long time if they're already hammered at 6. So I don't know. Come sober. You could leave drunk if you want to.
Make sure you Uber on the way.
It's NASCAR night. Get a little crazy.
That's right. And by the way, little college hockey taking place earlier in the day too, which is rad. We'll tell you about that. On the flip side, it's the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. NASCAR driver Corey LaJoie for Spire Motorsports joining us here on the show in town because tomorrow evening, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits are hosting NASCAR night, and it is a doubleheader because during the day, 2 o'clock, we got a little Ice Palmetto Bowl as the hockey teams from both the University of South Carolina and Clemson will get it on at the Well as well. And I will tell you, Corey, this is really interesting. One of the things that I think hockey and NASCAR have in common is that the fans they have, like it's more of a niche fandom than like football where anybody will watch anybody, but the fans they have are always some of the most passionate in sports. You see that with the bitch. You go up to Carolina and watch the Hurricanes or Nashville and watch the Predators, and they've got that in common. And now with it being Clemson, South Carolina, followed by a Bits game, you add kind of that college football atmosphere into it. Man, hockey and NASCAR, I think, go hand in hand because of those fans. As a driver who is interacting with fans like at events tomorrow at NASCAR night at the Swamp Rabbits, what's it like? What are those interactions like for you as your NASCAR career continues to develop?
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR fans in particular are diehards. No different than, you know, fans that come here and support the Swamp Rabbits. Like, there's diehard hockey fans. So it's cool to see people support. A little crossover. We got a lot of NASCAR fans coming out tomorrow night. We got a lot of Swamp Rabbits fans coming out tomorrow night. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how much the hockey fans start paying attention to NASCAR season with it about to be starting up here next week, and vice versa. Some NASCAR fans tune into hockey they might not have. So, man, they're doing it up tomorrow night. It's going to be huge. Make sure you get your tickets because it's going to be one of the biggest attended nights in Swamp Rabbits history.
I have no doubt. It's going to be phenomenal. I can't wait to be in the building for both those games. And that kind of leads me to something I wanted to ask you about as a guy on the inside as a driver. To me, NASCAR, and I've given them credit for a number of years, I think NASCAR has done a better job at outreach to new fans than really any other sport. You know, the NFL gets so big, they don't really have to market for new fans. Most of us just kind of are. College football constantly promoting its stuff. But I think that NASCAR has done a phenomenal job with outreach, which makes it interesting because the teams have to do as much work as the sport itself. Teams like Spire have to constantly be doing stuff like this. I read an article yesterday from Jim Rome, who comes on after us, that he said, you know, for years, like, I just kind of absolutely dumped on NASCAR for being a redneck sport and a southern sport and all that. He said NASCAR has done more to win me over. And now he talks NASCAR on a show all the time, and I think it is that outreach. Events like this, to me, help grow the sport. As a driver on the inside that does events like this, how have you watched the growth and popularity of NASCAR picking up new fans? I know, like, Michael Jordan getting involved is huge. Getting more diversity amongst drivers is huge. Watching it continue to grow into the 2020s, what's that been like from a guy on the inside?
Yeah, my career started in 2016. My first race was earlier, but really and truly every week started when I was 2016. And I've seen the growth. It was pretty low at that point. Fans weren't coming up, showing out, and the grandstands were pretty vacant. And now, I mean, we sold out Daytona 500. I think it's 8 years in a row now. And man, we're selling out Pocono. It's just a great example of the work NASCAR's been putting in. And we're trying to make, I say it all the time, we're trying to make NASCAR cool again. I mean, you see people wearing, you know, fashion guys who don't know anything about NASCAR wearing throwback Tony Stewart shirts out in public. And you're starting to see a little bit that cultural shift, people starting to embrace it again. The cars actually look cool. I think the next-gen cars actually make it a little more relatable for fans that see a car on the street, see it on a Sunday. Celebrities, like you mentioned, you got a lot of big guys. Pitbull, owner, one of the owners in Trackhouse. MJ's the owner with 2311 with Denny. And it's just starting to grow, and you're going to see more of that fuel out of that fire in the next coming years. And I love where the markets were going to. I love the people involved. It's just a pretty dang cool job, man.
And, you know, that's interesting because, and we talk about the fans. I mean, you do have, it is a sport with a bunch of hardcore fans. And a lot of them, and they've called in the show and said, like, I don't like the changes. Like, I want it to be NASCAR the way it's always been and all that. And my thought has been, look, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards, mm-hmm. right? There's no like, okay, we're okay with where we are. Everything's going to continue to cost more. You got to move ahead. All of this, to me, getting celebrities like Jordan involved, like you said, guys like Pitbull. When I went last year and you've got Nelly doing a pregame concert at Charlotte, that is out of the, I won't say norm, but the stereotype of NASCAR. And I think NASCAR has been working very hard to shatter those stereotypes. And I mean, even getting involved with something like a hockey game. These aren't really crossover sports, but when you kind of put them out there and you do stuff like this and you start to win new fans over, to me, it does exactly that. It makes NASCAR cool again.
Yeah, yeah, and I think this particular instance is an instance where the teams are also doing their part in pulling the sport with them, where it was a big separation between the league and the teams. There's a lot of just knocking heads there with what teams expected the leagues to do and vice versa. But this is a Spire Motorsports headed effort, Spire Sports and Entertainment headed effort. And then they asked NASCAR, hey, would you guys want to be involved? And, of course, they did. So I think you see NASCAR, as opposed to sticking their hand out asking for money, they're trying to put their hand on you and help you go along just to push the sport. And I think over the last 5 or 6 years, they're starting to see all the fruits of that harvest. And I'm glad I'm a small part of it. I mean, I've got my podcast, Stacking Pennies, on NASCAR.com each and every week. I've seen that grow. It's just there's a lot of good things coming out of it if you lean into it and you want to do it. And I love the sport. It's what I grew up doing. It's what I want my son to keep doing when he's old enough.
Corey LaJoy, NASCAR driver for Spire Motorsports. He will be tomorrow night at the Well. Big day of hockey right here in Greenville. The South Carolina v. Clemson Palmetto Bowl on ice is at 2. The Rabbits will be playing in their NAS. Those jerseys, by the way,
are sweet.
Dope, dude.
Yeah, dude.
They're a great look.
They look like a fire suit.
Yeah.
They modeled it with the patches and sponsors. Look like, you know.
Quick question. You know anybody who could give me one? Just out of curiosity?
I don't know. You'll be there tomorrow night. You could buy one at auction.
Yeah.
So we're auctioning all the jerseys off.
That's why he makes the bucks, ladies and gentlemen. This guy knows what the hell he's doing.
That's right.
So before we let you go, I do have to ask you this. You laced him up today.
Yeah.
You got on the ice. You bladed up. You went out with Lordo and the boys.
Oh, yeah.
How we feeling?
Dude, Lordo turned that dial up to 10.
He put it on you?
Oh, my goodness. He was on the other side, and I think he kind of like saw me in the corner of his eye like, oh, let's show this guy the ropes here. And I did a little bit of puck protection, trying to throw some bodies around. I went down once, popped back up. Everybody's in good shape. But you guys see – I mean, you – watching from the 10th row eating popcorn ain't what those guys are doing when you're on the ice, man. Those guys are so fast and so strong. So that's what I'm excited to see tomorrow night, the guys that are out there, you know, trying to make a living for themselves, trying to make it to the bigs, and they're giving all your effort. And I'm excited to see them tomorrow night.
I think I've told people that for years. I think my favorite thing about, you know, truck races in NASCAR, hockey at this level with the bits, is that when you look at the athletes doing it at this level – they are doing it because they love the damn game and they are trying to make something. And to me, that is where competition's at its best. You know, I've told people for years, if you go to a NASCAR race, if you go up to Charlotte for the Coke 600, go watch the truck race the day before, because those are the dudes that are trying to burn it up.
Yeah. It's different. Like, at the end of the day, the cream rises to the top, and the guys with the most talent get majority of the time the best shots. So that's also why you don't get a whole lot of – passing or a whole lot of wild moves on a Sunday, because everybody from first to 35th know what they're doing. The guys in a truck race, only like 8 of them really know what they're doing. But the other guys are trying real hard. They just don't really know what's going on. And that's just the progression of it. And, you know, but these guys have played hockey since they've been kids, man. You know, and they – I was talking to a kid from Massachusetts. I was talking to some kid from Ontario. Like, guys are from all over. Trying to be playing what I would say on a Sunday, but trying to be playing in the bigs.
And that's right.
It's cool to see. You can familiarize yourself with somebody and watch their journey no different than anybody else in NASCAR.
Corey LaJoy is a NASCAR driver for Spire Motorsports. He is in the Ville because tomorrow night the Greenville Swamp Rabbits host NASCAR Night at the Well. You can get your tickets now at swamprabbits.com. Corey's going to stick around. If you're on the stream, stay there, because we're actually going to take this conversation to stream exclusive. Got him for another few minutes. If you're not watching, facebook.com/thefanupstate, or follow us on YouTube or Twitch at The Rob Brown Show. We'll talk to Corey a few more minutes, starting up here in just a couple of minutes. For the rest of you, we'll see you back here Monday on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate. Later, brother.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.